Welcome to Leadership Everywhere, the podcast on leadership in the 21st century. To ask questions and search for answers is a central aspect of our humanity. This is a creative act. In this podcast, I ask questions about leadership and explore them with you. By asking questions, I want to stimulate your imagination and create new images of leadership. This is episode 7, and today it's about power. What is power? Why is power so fascinating? How do you personally deal with power? I usually end a podcast episode with a bon mot suitable for the content. This time I'd like to turn it around and start with two quotes because they illustrate very well what this episode is about. First, Marie von Ebner-Eschenbach. The wiser gives way and brings the stupid to power. The second quote is from Euripides, 450 before Christ. You have power, so practice virtue. Yes, power and power relations are as old as human society itself. The concept and the ideals associated with it are quite controversial. Friedrich Nietzsche, for example, considers the will to power as a basic human characteristic. For Machiavelli, power is more than a means, it is the goal of action. Max Weber's definition is probably the one that best describes the concept of power in leadership and management. Power means the chance to impose one's will, even in the face of opposition from others. However, there are also other ways of looking at power that tie in with Euripides. Hannah Arendt sees power primarily in terms of responsibility and community. So power includes the human ability to join forces with others and to act in agreement with them. So there you have it. Power has a bright and a dark side. We live in a time in which universally valid moral guidelines are increasingly disappearing. Even ethical questions cannot be answered unambiguously or universally. Just think of the refugee issue. Here, ethics of responsibility and ethics of conviction are at odds. Good and evil cannot be clearly distinguished. Today, everyone is required to decide many things according to their own set of values, and this creates great uncertainty. This also explains why many people fall for populists, because they divide the world into good and evil and claim to be in possession of the ultimate truth. This presumed enlightenment has something mysterious about it, something inscrutable, which explains the fascination that these people exert. For today's episode, I researched different perspectives on power. The bright and the dark sides of power, and the dark and the bright triad of power. You find the literature references in the show notes. Power is something ambivalent. I adopt the concept of bright and dark to make the topic of power transparent and demystify it for you in business. Everyone is confronted with power in some form or another. However, the attitude towards power and the will to power vary greatly. Whether one has a positive or negative attitude towards power depends strongly on one's own value system. For example, if money, status, fame are strongly held values, power is a desirable means to achieve these goals. People for whom these things are important usually pursue their claims to power openly and quite pragmatically. On the other hand, there are people who are skeptical about power and the pursuit of power, or who reject it outrightly. Often, these are people for whom solidarity, cooperation, and purpose are strong values. Today, I would like to make the case that striving for power is not contradictory to these values, but it is even necessary in order to assert them. Rejecting power does not make it disappear. It does not make anything better. Rather, it leaves the grounds unopposed to the power seekers. The will to power is not bad per se. What matters is the responsible use of power. I believe that leaders need to be power competent and develop that competence. By power competent, I mean a realistic relationship to power that includes both victory and defeat, and that uses power for constructive solutions. If you will, that's around the bright side of power. To develop power competence, it's necessary to understand power and power mechanisms in all their dark and bright facets. Then we can develop our own toolbox to deal with power responsibly and to defend ourselves against an abuse of power. Let us return to the bright and the dark triad of power. The dark triad refers to personality structures which are highly toxic and at the same time highly promising, especially in times of uncertainty and crisis. These are narcissistic, Machiavellian, and even psychotic personalities. We are currently witnessing them in various manifestations in a number of states led by individuals whose primary goal is personal power and how to retain it. Undoubtedly, these personalities are charismatic, energetic, and often present themselves as visionary. They tend to consider themselves infallible. They are adept at manipulating others, and they are largely free from empathy. They are not constrained in their actions by rules or guided by norms, but ruthlessly pursue their goals. The dark triad can accomplish many things. It can move people, inspire them for action, and at first glance, this may seem useful. Unfortunately, sooner or later, it brings with it unacceptable collateral damage, whether in politics or in organizations. The belief in their own infallibility becomes the root of bad decisions, and the elimination of dissent leads to excessive control and oppression. The result is not higher productivity, but a loss of it. Egocentrism is simply incompatible with the welfare of others. Then what is the bright triad? What must leaders be like? What must they be able to do in order to be more successful than the dark ones? The personality traits of the bright triad are diametrically opposed to those of the dark one. The bright triad includes responsibility, empathy, and creativity. The focus is not on the ego, but on the self. Knowing and leading yourself well, being able to integrate your strengths and weaknesses, and recognizing your own vulnerability. Bright side leaders know that they will sometimes fail, especially if they dare a lot. They are able to accept that and learn from it. Bright side leaders use power to find solutions that integrate diverse interests whenever possible, and create win-win situations. This makes it possible to convey all important sense of security and thus create the basis for trust. Bright side leaders can use the potential of others consistently and transparently and create a huge reservoir for creative solutions. They are able to create the flexibility and innovative power that organizations need today. Next question. What legitimizes power? Who is allowed to impose his will at all? Make a claim to power. You do not necessarily need power in order to create something. Strength, perseverance, or creativity are enough. Power is needed when there is resistance. When power is supposed to be legitimized, it has to be based on an open or tacit agreement. For example, a vote, a contract, a hierarchical order. Management positions are endowed with power, which legitimizes managers to give instructions, to hire or to fire employees, to give promotions or salary increases. You also need a power source in order to successfully assertion your legitimate self-interests. For example, to get a certain job or reach a certain position or push through a salary increase. Here is the field of the classical conflicts of interest. Harmony is not a permanent state. Conflicts can and will arise again and again. Interests and ambitions can collide. As a power competent leader in the bright sense, you are mastering the peaceful instruments of power, namely comprehensive information, constructive dialogue, making offers and trade-offs, finding compromises, and the like. The ability to reconcile after a conflict is also part of this. Power does not by default equal fight. In good relationships, the chance that conflicts will be resolved constructively is relatively high. How can you go about it? First, think about what is your goal? What are your motives? There are a few useful questions for self-reflection. What do I want to achieve? What makes my goal legitimate? What resistance should I expect? How do I want to achieve my goal? How far am I willing to go? If I don't achieve my goal, what is the second best alternative? What is the worst case? A critical examination of these questions not only creates the necessary emotional distance from the topic, but also opens up spaces for compromise or enables an orderly retreat if the realization of my goal is not possible under the current circumstances. Part of the ability to exercise power is the art of respecting your opponent, regardless of whether you ultimately emerge from the conflict as the winner or the loser. After all, life must and should go on. Burning bridges and leaving scorched earth behind prevents a face-saving retreat or a possible reconciliation. There is one thing I learned in my long career. It's very seldom to have an enemy forever. Likewise, it's also very seldom to have an ally forever. How can I defend myself when I'm confronted with someone who is not interested in peaceful power tools? How can I defend myself against an abuse of power? What sources of power do I have at my disposal? Abuse of power occurs when a power relationship is exercised against its intended purpose, when it asymmetrically benefits only the power holder. Rebelling against this can have uncomfortable consequences: mobbing, blackmailing, slander, psychological pressure are frequent counteractions. You get to deal with the arsenal of the dark triad. When this happens, cool, strategic reflection is your reaction of choice. That is, checking your own armory and carefully weighing the chances and risks of the power struggle. Check your sources of power. Who is behind me? Who can back me up? Which regulatory framework supports my case? What resources do I have at my disposal? These include, for example, information, networks, but also money for professional advice, coaches, lawyers. What does the armory of my opponent look like? Apart from these external resources, it's equally important to check your mental state. Will I be able to bear through it when it gets really messy? Who can support me mentally? What are the consequences if I lose? A coach can help to go through one's arsenal and weigh possible steps and options. The goal is to avoid an uncontrolled fight that could consume one's strengths or even end with one's own destruction. Here is an example from my coaching practice. Last year, I had a case of suspected corruption at the top management level of the company. The controller of the company, my client, discovered the case. The revenge of the boss followed immediately. Massive pressure, withdrawal of competences, humiliation in front of his employees, slander. The coaching focused on weighing and implementing countermeasures and developing a strategy that protects his integrity and leaves his chances on the job market intact. The questions of how far do I go, what resources do I have, what's at the disposal of the opponent, were central throughout the process. Ultimately, a solution was reached that was acceptable to my client and allowed him to exit the company in an orderly fashion. In the meantime, he has an equivalent position in another company, and he learned a lot about human behavior and about himself. Last but not least, what are the chances of success for the Bright Triad? What do you think? Will the dark ones always prevail in the end, or can it be different? With the best will in the world, I can't answer that. I can only say that it depends on what each individual can or wants to do. You as leaders and aspiring leaders have it in your own hands to develop your power competence in the spirit of the Bright Triad. The external circumstances might help you. Many people, perhaps including you, are fed up with narcissists and Machiavellianists and psychopaths calling the shots in politics and corporations. The increasing diversity of teams is also encouraging other approaches. Even Forbes, who regularly publishes a list of the most powerful men and women, is thinking about changing the criteria for selection. In the past, power was considered value neutral. The new criteria are about leaders using their power in ways that serve their company, their employees, and society in a positive way. In addition, a survey of the top 10 leadership competences places strong ethics and safety at number one with 67%. Dear listeners, here you are. You will hear from me again in 2 weeks. The next episode is about conflicts and how you can deal with them. I'm looking forward to your suggestions, feedback, questions, and objections. You can find more information and my contact details in the show notes. My articles, blog posts, and tips are available on my website www.abado-coaching.com. I wish you a marvelous journey into 2021 and stay tuned. Yours, Gabriela Abado.